teaching, our study of practical teaching for daily living. The last time we were together, we had discussed the pattern for prayer, and we had also talked about principles of forgiveness. And I was thinking, I've been thinking on this, principles of forgiveness, and thinking about how we're asked to forgive trespasses, forgive others, if we want to be forgiven, and how our Father forgives us. And when I think about that, I was talking to the Lord about that this morning and thinking about forgiveness and how sometimes that can be a challenge to forgive. But I was quickly reminded that He forgives me, thankfully, and I'm quite undeserving of this forgiveness, you see. But He has so much grace and so much mercy that He forgives my wrongdoing when I come before Him, when I ask Him, when I request. And here's what amazes me. Our Father doesn't ask us to do anything He doesn't do Himself. All of these principles that we've been talking about, these spiritual principles, He Himself practices. When we think about that, when we reflect on who He is and His character that He demonstrates, I have yet, and I'm still discovering and learning, but I have yet to come across one thing that He's asked us to do that He hasn't done. Right down to sacrifice. He sacrificed His Son. You know, even building the temple, the tabernacle, you know there's a tabernacle in heaven. Did you know that? Well, I had a real revelation of that the other day. And I want you to think about the role models that we have here on earth. The people that that influence you. Do they always practice what they preach? Well, I'm going to put a mirror in front of my face. Do I always practice what I preach? Do you always practice what you preach? So this study for me, we're talking about principles for daily living, spiritual principles. But these principles reveal the character of God. When you step back and you look and you reflect on what He's asking us, it reveals the Father. So as we go through some of these principles, I want you to be thinking about the Father. I want you to be thinking about Jesus. Now, we're going to move on, and I'm going to begin on page 16 of our study guide. And let's talk about the procedure for fasting. To refresh our memories, I'm going to read in Matthew chapter 6, and I'd like you to read with me. We're going to read verses 16 through 18. Whenever you fast, don't be sad-faced like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive, so their fasting is obvious to people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that you don't show your fasting to people, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, there's a lot to this. But here's what I can tell you about fasting. from personal experience. Is fasting puts back in remembrance that the spirit is in control of the body. Now, for me, why this is important to remember is because we're spiritual beings. And when we understand that we're truly spiritual beings and we get our eyes off the flesh, it's easier to focus on that which is spiritual. That may sound redundant and obvious, but for me it's a necessary lesson, it's a necessary reminder. But what he's telling us here is when you fast, everybody and their brother doesn't need to know about it. That's just like, remember how we were taught principles of giving? It's the same principle. If we fast so that we are sad in our countenance and we walk around talking about being hungry and how deprived we are and how miserable it is and I can't believe this, and then what we're looking for is attention from other people. And oftentimes we're looking for more than attention. We're looking for somebody to stroke our flesh. Oh, you're doing such a good job. Keep it up. I'm so proud of you. Well, there's your reward. There's your reward. And apparently, the Pharisees and whomever used to make such a big show of it that Jesus felt the need to correct us on a few things, to set the record straight. Fasting to me is something very personal. Very personal. Nobody needs to know about it. Nobody. Now, if you're thinking, how do you do that? Well, the Lord will help you. The point is, where's our attention supposed to be? Our attention's supposed to be on the Lord. And if we're fasting, if we're putting aside our selfish desires and we're focusing on the Lord, then keep your attention on the Lord and don't be looking for the attention of other people. Now, I would really like for us to take a look at Isaiah chapter 58, and I'm going to read some verses and then Pete's going to help us out here. Okay, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And keep in mind that I've got a different translation here. The heading of this chapter for me is True Fasting. Cry out loudly, don't hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. They seek me day after day and delight to know my ways, like a nation that does what is right and does not abandon the justice of their God. They ask me for righteous judgments. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted, but you have not seen? We have denied ourselves, but you haven't noticed. Look, you do as you please on the day of your fast and oppress all your workers. You fast with contention and strife, to strike viciously with your fist. You cannot fast as you do today, hoping to make your voice heard on high. Will the fast I choose be like this? A day for a person to deny himself, to bow his head like a reed, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes. Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Isn't the fast I choose to break the chains of wickedness, to untie the ropes of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to tear off every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the poor and homeless into your house, to clothe the naked when you see them, and not to ignore your own flesh and blood? Then your light will appear like a dawn, and your recovery will come quickly. Your righteousness will go before you, and the Lord's glory will be your rear guard. Did you see the contrast here of what we're being taught? Can't fast and be hateful and mean to your workers, and Lord's not going to be looking on that and smiling at that kind of behavior. Go ahead.
Well, I think we just need to break this down, because there's so many schools of thought on fasting, and you hear all types of things, and people bragging about their 40-day fast, 21-day fast, and all this type stuff. And fasting is not anything to brag about. If you do that, you got your reward. You understand that people heard about it, all right? But what he's talking about, and let me say this first off, fasting does not move God. You follow me? Faith moves God, not fasting. But some faith requires fasting to get there. It just simply means that you're afflicting the body. You're actually demonstrating to God the sincerity of whatever the case may be. And so your fasting is fasting the flesh, the carnality. If you notice what he said there in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, he's setting the captives free. Why couldn't the disciples cast the devil out of that young boy? They were too hung up on the flesh. He said this kind of faith goes out by prayer and fasting. In other words, you've got to get the flesh under subjection. And the whole purpose of fast is certainly not to impress God or to impress anybody else. It's that you're showing your sincerity to God. I'm serious about this. And I'm serious enough that I'll do whatever it takes, because I want to help other people. You understand that's what the 58th chapter of Isaiah is about. It's about helping other people. Setting captives free. In other words, you release them from, like the masters releasing the slaves from work and that type thing. Well, Jesus is saying you go through the religious motions of abstinence. So you go without food for whatever period of time. What good is that when you're still living carnally and doing the same old things that's unpleasing to me that you've done all along? Let me tell you what a fast is. A fast is when you give up yourself and you start looking after the things of God. You start looking after the welfare of people. You understand? And that's what God is doing. That's the fast. Feed the hungry. What did Jesus say in Matthew concerning the people, goats and sheep? You know, you didn't feed me when I was hungry. You didn't clothe me when I was naked. You didn't visit me when I was in prison. They said, what are you talking about? When were you ever hungry and naked and in prison? But what did he say? When you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. And then conversely, he says, those who did feed the hungry and those who did visit the sick and all this, he said, you did it to me. The bottom line is our attention is to be on the Lord. And so we're actually fasting the flesh. Self-life. You fast the self-life. Unlike the Pharisees who'd wipe their face and call attention to themselves, hey, look at me, I'm fasting. Jesus said they got their reward. It didn't come from God. It just come from the praise and accolades of people. And so your fasting should be a private thing. It should be something between you and the Lord. Not, Lord, I'm doing this so you'll speak to me, or Lord, I'm doing this to try to get you to change your mind. That's the wrong motive of fasting. And so, Lord, I want to see this accomplished, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to overcome these devils or overcome this, that, or the other. And so when we're talking about fasting, we're talking about self-life, giving it up. You know, back many years ago, I had a ritual of fasting. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You understand? Tuesdays and Thursdays, nothing would pass these lips. No water, no food. And, you know, I'm going to be real spiritual, you understand? And all it did was made you hungry. And you know, the Monday you eat like a pig, and then Wednesday you eat like a pig, and then Friday you eat like a pig. You're not fasting. And the Lord dealt with me about it. And He said, I'd rather for you to live a fasted life than just doing this other. All you're doing is demonstrating willpower. Well, I go without eating today. Well, big deal. So can all the sinners around you. You understand? That's nothing. But it's to where you live a life with your mind on the Lord, not on yourself. And everything is in moderation. You understand? And so we'll do without food, but we won't do without entertainment. We won't do without this. We won't do without the other. And the Lord says, I want your attention on me all the time. Not just Tuesdays and Thursdays, but I want your attention on me all the time. Make me important on Monday and Wednesday and Friday. You understand? And so we've learned a few things along the way. And, you know, I was brought up in hearing teaching on fasting, and my thought was fasting moved God. You fast so you can get God to do something. That's not it at all. You get the flesh out of the way and let God do something through you. That's the bottom line. Okay? All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Let's move on to investment instructions. Take a look with me in Matthew chapter 6, and let's look at verses 19 through 21. Don't collect for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But collect yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now I want us to think about this in the natural for just a minute, so we can understand the spiritual principle here. If you've ever had your house broken into and had some things stolen from you, you can relate to some of this. Now, that has happened to me before. And actually, the morning that it happened, I know the Spirit of the Lord told me, put on your pearls and wear a good ring. Wear this ring. And I remember talking back to the Lord saying that I'm going to school. I'm going to be working with kindergartners. We're going to be on the floor. I don't want to wear my good jewelry today, Lord. I'm not going to do it. So I didn't. Well, when I got home that afternoon, doors in my house are wide open. Stuff all, you know, askew in the den, the living room. And I'm so naive, I thought, what has my husband done? He did not clean up after himself. Let me take care of this. That's my first thought. He moved the TV and he took the computer while he was at it. That's honestly what I thought. And then so I'm like, I didn't even think anything of it till I went upstairs. And I was taking off my jewelry for the day. Well, guess what was gone? So, nevertheless, never recovered it. But you know, I learned such a valuable lesson with that. Because that night, you know, we have the police come and all that, which is traumatic for somebody who's never even had a speeding ticket, because you feel bad in the first place calling them because you're bothering them because they have more important work to do than worry about your stuff that's been taken. But I was walking upstairs, and I stepped on something sharp. And I looked down, and I picked it up, and it was, I have a necklace. It was a gold cross. And I picked it up, and as I picked it up, what I heard was, there are some things that can't be taken from you. Now, that necklace was just a necklace to me, but there was a lesson in that whole experience for me, is that the things of the Lord are far more valuable than the things that I can get in this life. So, when we look at that word treasures, and the Lord really helped me this evening with this, when you look at that word treasures, it actually means deposit. So, think about deposits, making investments. If we're only making investments in the natural, it's not going to last you very long. Because what's in the natural is not eternal, is it? But if we're making investments in the spiritual, now those we'll find when we get to heaven, won't we? This really is, it's a contrast between the natural and the spiritual. And what it also makes me think about is what you focus on grows. Ideally, our investments will grow and increase, right? You think about the natural people invest in stocks and other things and with the hopes that they'll increase. Well, the same can be true of the spiritual, right? So let's put our attention on the things of the Lord. Let's focus on the spiritual. And those aren't going to rust and corrode. Those can't be stolen and taken from you. And that's really, I want you to really think about that. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. People can take a lot of things from you if you let them. They can remove you from position. Your house can be taken. Your car can be taken. But the love that Jesus Christ gives you, nobody can touch that. Nobody. The benefits of being a joint heir with Jesus, this world can't touch. So what are we going to focus on? Where are we going to be making our deposits? Are we going to focus on the natural or are we going to focus on the spiritual? For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Well, I'm yoked up with Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus. He's got my attention. He's got my focus. He's got my heart. And I'm so grateful for that. So He's my treasure. You know, a true love that surpasses your understanding is an absolute treasure. And the love that God gives you is a gift. And that gift should be treasured above all else. I was grateful to learn the lesson of a strand of pearls in a sapphire diamond ring are just things. Just things. But my Jesus, He's a treasure. He's a treasure. You know, I used to work with somebody who always saw the good in people. She always looked for the good, and she recognized fruit that was produced. And she would say, and I'll never forget the first time she said it, I was dumbfounded. She'd say, "Well, I'm the richest lady in town. Just look at all my treasures." And she was talking about the spirit. She was looking at the spiritual, you understand. Well, what are we focused on? Now, investments made in earth are subject to be destroyed or stolen. That's very true. You know, let's think about this a little bit more with the stock market and what's going on naturally. That stock market's like a roller coaster, isn't it? But so many people put all of their attention and their focus. I've got a family member who does that. Watches the stocks. He used to look at the newspaper, but now he probably has it on his phone. He probably's got it on his watch, so he has it all the time. That's right. But that will undo him in a second. We can't depend on the things of this world. It's the lesson that I'm learning, and I'm hoping you're learning that lesson too. We are instructed to invest in heaven, where our investments cannot be destroyed or stolen. One's heart is in the same realm as his treasure. Those who value and invest in the things of the earth focus their attention on earthly things. Their heart is connected to the earth. You can tell what somebody's focused on. You can tell where their heart is just by listening to what they have to say. You can watch. Sometimes they don't even have to say a word. You can watch their mannerisms. You can see what they're focused on and know what's in their heart. Well, I would like to think that the Lord is doing, that He's doing a work in me. That when people look at me, when they talk to me, they'll say, "She's focused on Jesus. She's a little different." Those who value and invest in heavenly things focus their attention on the kingdom of God. Their heart is connected to spiritual things. What are people focused on today? Right now, they're focused on fear. They're focused on a lie. They're focused on darkness, so many people. Well, what's that? What's the return on that? What's the interest they're receiving on that? But those of us that are focused on the spiritual, the treasures that we're laying up in heaven, well, in my heart, in my mind, the return is great. It's so great, it's so massive, it's hard to put it into words. Because truly, it surpasses my understanding.
There's a lot to there's a lot to say to this, you know, as far as where a person's heart is. And I look around me today, and people locate themselves with their words. They locate themselves with their actions. It doesn't take you long to see who's really sold out to God and committed to God and who isn't. Their conversation tells on them, their actions tells on them, what they have their attention on. And it's interesting to me how, and let's just keep this into the confines of the church. How many church attenders, I'll put it that way, have their attention on the world? They're more in tune with the world, and they're in tune right now with self-preservation. Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't hooked up with self-preservation? He laid down his life. No, he didn't try to preserve his life. And he tells us if we'll lose our lives for his sake, we'll gain it. But if we try to preserve it, we're going to lose it. And so when you looking to invest in yourself and what you can get out of this life, you end up the loser because you're not taking anything with you. That's an obsolete, okay? But you deprive yourself of what could have been. You understand, we don't serve God and we don't do things for reward. But God doesn't overlook what we do. And God will reward. I don't think about what God's going to give me, but I can be confident that God will be fair and just with me. Paul said, I'm going to get the crown of life. I'm going to get rewarded for what I've done. But we don't put our attention on that. And I said that to say, this is how you're making your investments in heaven. What you do for God is an investment. You understand, when you give your life over to God, you're investing in the kingdom of God. And when you invest in God, you can get a return. That's for sure, for certain. And it's not going to be oscillating. It's not dependent upon world economy. It's not dependent upon billionaires manipulating economy. This is a righteous, just God. And that's why it's so important that we not place our attention here, but we keep our attention on the Lord. Now, God's not expecting you to live on the street and in the woods. He's not asking you to be homeless. He's just saying, don't let those things get your attention. You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I'll see to it that you're taken care of. You understand, all these things will be added unto you. And so, instead of following the practices of the world, we need to follow the practices of the kingdom of God. What did Jesus invest in? Think about it. He wasn't investing in things of the earth, was he? No, he's investing in the things of the kingdom of God. And what did he do? He got a return on it. He said, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it's going to produce, right? And so what God is wanting us to do is to yield our lives over to Him so there can be a great return on that, to where when you sow yourself into the kingdom of God, it's going to produce. You understand? And that's what God is wanting us to do. It's not how much you could accumulate. He, the one with the most toys, wins. Have you ever seen that? Well, how stupid can you be? Wins what? He didn't win anything. Because your heart was on that and your heart wasn't on God. And you can identify where your treasure is. No one has to tell you. You just start examining your heart. You know what captivates your attention. You know what you're thinking about. Other people don't know what you're thinking about, per se. You know what you're thinking about. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. It captivates you. How many people are captivated by God? You know, back some time ago, the Lord just really opened something up to me on captured by love. Love sought you out. You understand? It wasn't judgment, it wasn't wrath, but it was love that captured me. Got my attention. You understand? Invest in love. The world hates you. The world's trying to kill you right now. The world is trying to take away from you right now. And people still trust in the one that's trying to destroy them. Can you explain that to me? Invest in God. Amen. I think our time's up, so we'll stop there.